Well, I started off my career in New York City 50 years ago, and it was all uphill. I was supposed to push an online product that IBM had developed, but we were late, and it was all uphill. It's a good thing I was young and scared and broke. But I got two name accounts that really helped me a lot. J. Walter Thompson, my territory was the media industry. You know, if you segment markets, you start talking the language better. You know how all that works, right? So J. Walter Thompson, the incredibly successful advertising agency on Madison Avenue. That sounded good as a reference, but the big prize was Time Magazine on 6th Avenue, just below Central Park there. That building stood up there, big white building, and I got a contract with Time Magazine, and I was throwing those names around, you know. In preparation for today, I started looking for companies that really have gotten themselves into trouble. And when I came across the famous AOL Time Warner deal in 2000, I remembered my time back then. And I started to wonder. I wonder how Ted Turner felt when AOL stock dropped 50% and he lost $8.5 billion. And then, you know, years earlier, Gerald Levin at Time Warner had kind of edged the way the journalist put it. So he sort of edged them aside in terms of real authority in the organization. I wonder how he felt about all that. And why didn't Levin put a collar on the transaction? A collar. It's a great, financial people have great terminology. You pull it back, if it's not going right, if the stock price is not staying up there, you can pull it back. Why didn't he do that? His advisors all told him, you ought to put a collar on it. He wouldn't do it. So, what was going on at the top in the executive suite? I've always been interested in communication in the executive suite. I wonder what was going on. Now this morning, men, what is going on at the top with the chairman, James, in Jerusalem, who is effectively in charge of God's people all over the world? What's going on with him? He's the recognized leader of God's people in the middle of the first century. And how can we learn from him this morning? How can we learn from him? Problems, men, are not new with us. Believe me, he had his share. God's people were under terrible persecution all over the world. Over in the east, Babylon and Alexandria, and over in the west, over around Rome. They were under terrible persecution. Last week, Mark went right at it. James is the CMO. He's the chief meaning officer. Meaning, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? What does that mean? Open your scriptures to the book of James, first chapter. Whatever that means to you, open your scriptures. It may be a little black or blue thing in your pocket. It may be a big black old-fashioned Bible. I don't care, but open to James, the first chapter. And last week, Mark put it out there, 2 to 4. Count it all joy, brothers, when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith is going to work patience. So let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. One of the best things I ever learned 50 years ago. That wasn't 50 years ago, it was 40 years ago, when some guys like you all, business professional men, had led me to Christ. One of the best things they taught me was how to memorize Scripture, and you do it by getting the older translation, which has a cadence. Count it all joy, brothers, when you fall into various trials. Knowing this, you see the cadence to it. It helps the memory. So, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? It means that you become mature. God is trying to grow us up. That's what it means. He's trying to teach us how to love other people more, and the way he does that is through trials. Right out of... Now, make sure you listen to that message last week or watch it. All right. So let me ask you now this morning, is there any man in this room this morning that doesn't want to be a success in his business life, his economic life? No, of course not. We all long for the satisfaction that our careers, from our careers. We all want to be a success, right? But things happen. Things happen. We can fall out of favor with the boss. We can lose an account. We can lose a good man on the team. That hurts. You bring a guy in, you train him, and then he leaves. Oh, my God, that's expensive, and it hurts. I asked Dave Dorries for permission. We were on the phone this week together for prayer. He told me he could not convince his client of what it was going to cost to get the right guy for the job. He had two good candidates, and the money wasn't there. Months of work, nothing. That's very disappointing, isn't it? That is economic life, but how about the non-economic life? When things are not harmonious at home. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. How about this drug thing that the teenagers are getting into? That's awful. It's awful. It's God-awful. My wife just finished 3 months of chemo. Let me tell you, it's a bummer. It's a bummer. We discovered that I'm not a very good nurse. She let me know, too. She let me know. Now, when things happen, there's pain, and there is pain for everyone. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike, Jesus says. God's people are not immune to pain. When it comes, we can handle it in one of two ways, the way the Bible cuts it. When it comes, you can handle it foolishly, or you can be wise and handle it with wisdom. And James tells us what to do this morning to help us prevent being foolish. Verse 5 today is the focus. If any of you lacks wisdom, just this morning, one of the men came to me who's struggling with a career decision just this morning. What a privilege to be able to direct him to the right source. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously, James writes, to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So, what does James tell us to do when you get broadsided? What does he tell us to do? I knew this was going to happen. We missed the obvious. Pray. Don't do what we always do, right? We walk around upside down, worried about things. Pray. You should ask God, who gives generously. And what does he say when you pray? Oh, you're back again, for crying out loud. Why don't you stand on your own two feet? We're worried. We're afraid we're going to lose our witness of God's grace in our lives. So what do? We ask the Lord. I was with a guy this week. I won't even look in his direction because he wouldn't like that. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray about this. I asked my wife about that. What would you tell a guy who says, I don't know how to pray about this? She says, tell him to go and just pray the Psalms. Psalm 86. I looked at it this morning. This is very sophisticated stuff. Look at this. Hear me, Lord, and answer me. Anybody can do that, right? You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When you ask for wisdom, the promise is he gives it generously. Generously. I directed my friend this morning to our website under the documents. There is a study there called the Decision-Making Guide. That is the study I did 40 years ago when I was going through a tough transition. It's still around. It's on the website. Decision-Making Guide. There's been over 1,000 downloads on it. So what will that wisdom look like when it comes from above? James later in the book is going to say, the wisdom that comes from above. When it comes out of heaven, what's it going to look like? Well, the first thing about it is that it'll help you see the problem realistically. Yes, I lost a lot of money. That's it. That's all it is. I lost prestige. There's a damaged relationship. We were at lunch the other day, and this woman was telling us how she got beat up in a business transaction. She said, my heart is broken. I thought we were friends. Well, let me tell you, you put some money on the table in this world, you find out what people really value. She says, my heart is broken. You'll be disappointed, but you won't see it as a threat to your survival. What we want is a change in our circumstances. We can say that. But we won't demand it. Jesus is the model, right? Not my will, but thine be done. This is what I'd like. If I don't have to go through that crucifixion, Roman crucifixion, that would be wonderful. But not my will, thine be done. We'll actually be thankful if God gives us the grace. Scripture is strong. Be thankful in all things. And be thankful in all things and for all things. There's no way out. You're recognizing the sovereignty of God. It will be productive sadness. I stole this from a scholar. It will be productive sadness, not foolish and depressing. Productive sadness. Boy, that's a great concept, isn't it? 10 years to the day when I started with IBM, I left IBM. Started in 1978. I asked my wife, how did I handle that? She said, you did that right. And you know how I did it right, men? I'm no hero, let me tell you. I got up every morning and I lied on the floor with this paperback Bible that I had, that somebody gave me. I asked him for wisdom. Lord, give me grace one more day. This is getting tough. I don't suffer well. I begged him to give me the grace. And the way he answered, which was a surprise to me, is he put people in my life that I opened up to who were helpful to me, which was not my way. I didn't know how to do that. He taught me how to do that and sent the right people my way and let them help me. God has kept every promise over the last 40 years. Now, lately, I've been thinking about my life and writing a little bit about my life and career. And I've been reminded over and over how faithful God has been to me over the years, beyond what I can ask or imagine. So the challenge today, men, is this. Pray for wisdom and don't doubt. It's a promise. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's have prayer together. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of meeting like this. And just this morning, you've given me the privilege to interact with two men here. All they needed was somebody to talk to. It's not rocket science. It's just simple fellowship. Thank you for this organization, which is allowing us to equip men all over the Southeast to be able to reach out to other men with the love of Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Have a good time at your table.